your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to look at four verses here. Ecclesiastes 3, starting with verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. I got up early this morning and I knew I was going to preach chapel today. And I thought, I don't want to preach chapel today. And so, I'm probably not going to. Not very much, anyway. Looks more like a coat rack. You know, every once in a while, I just get tired of doing what I'm supposed to do. It gets old. You know how tired I get of wearing that thing right there? You might think that I like wearing that. You probably think I wear it to bed and I wear a tie to bed, but I don't. You know, the Bible says here there's a time to laugh. Go ahead and enjoy your college years. You need to. God laughs. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 2, verse number 4, that he has the people in heaven in derision. And that means they're beside themselves. They're laughing. They are laughing to the point of tears, but you can't cry in heaven, so that's impossible. But God actually has them cracking up. The Bible teaches us, again, in the book of Psalm chapter 59, verse number 8, that God has them in heaven in derision. God in heaven acts a lot like Bill McSpadden, I guess. Now, Bill McSpadden doesn't act like God, but I think God sometimes acts like Bill McSpadden. Psalm 37:13 tells us again that God laughs. Psalm 126 says that God laughs. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that there's a thing called the joy of the Lord. Christians are supposed to enjoy life. I'm talking about just plain old-fashioned, good, clean fun. And don't let the devil deceive you into believing that to serve God, you've got to give up an enjoyable life, because that's not true. I said, but Brother Owens, you're serious all the time. That's just a front. You see, when I pull a practical joke, I never get blamed, because everybody says, oh, he wouldn't do it. I get away with murder. You'd be surprised with what I do, and I never get blamed for it. I really enjoyed hearing Brother Talley preach the other day. He's the one that said, God is good, and we all said, and I apologize to you. I heard most of what he said, but my mind started running the minute we started saying that. And I was sitting over here, and I was enjoying things, but I was enjoying more what was going on in my mind than what was going on up here, because first thing I thought of is Brother Daniels is hungry. And then my mind started running some more, and it said, Dr. Jorgensen sings bad. And then I thought, Brother Owens is good looking. Now, come on. Now, I'm sure you're going to agree with this one, because this is the one that really confounded my thinking. Brady is strange. Now, I'm most apt to believe that as much as I'm apt to believe God is good all the time. You know, the God who created the earth, the stars, the moon, the universe, the God who created you created joy. And the best way to really enjoy life is God's way. God wants you to enjoy life. When I was in college, I worked at a place in Valparaiso called TFT, Task Force Tips. We made firefighting equipment. And it was what they called the Cadillac of the line. It was the firefighting nozzles were really fancy. Matter of fact, they looked a little bit like bazookas. And I had a buddy that was here in college that was going to do a speech in speech class, and he brought home one of those big firefighting nozzles. And we were on our way home from work one night. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was real foggy. I was driving. He had his window down. He was trying to stay awake, so he took that firefighting nozzle and he started acting like he was, you know, the bionic Smokey Bear or something. He's pointing out the window, you know, blowing away buildings at the South Lake Mall and everything. I'm thinking, man, you got to calm down. He's just go, you know, and I'm swerving the car like, you know, the bomb went off. We got out on a high, we were on Highway 30, and then we turned off on 65. I lived in Gary. I wanted to be where it was safe. And we're going up 65. It's real foggy. And I seen some headlights behind us. So, you know, my buddy, he's hanging out the window, blowing the car away behind us with this bazooka. And then all of a sudden, the car behind us had some really unique lights on top. And they were red, and they went off and on and off and on, something like that. And I thought, well, this guy probably wants me to let him go by. So I pulled over, and he pulled over. And my buddy, you know, he's still having fun, you know, blowing things away. And there's a policeman behind me. I'm thinking, this is not good. You know, what could have I done? About that time, they put this big spotlight on our car. Now it's real foggy, and I can just barely see back to that car. Now I can't see anything because it's got that big spotlight on us. And you hear the man on his little PA thing. He said, "All right, lay the weapon on the seat." Lay the weapon on the seat. My buddy, you know, he's still playing. He said, "You know, this is great." I'm thinking, "You fool." He said, he said, "Driver, slowly reach down, open your door, step out of your car." And it was serious. And so I stepped out of the car. There's a guy back there with a gun pulled. He says, "Spread eagle." So I'm there. And he says, "Tell your buddy to put the weapon down." I said, "Mike, man, put that thing down. I'm going to get shot." He says, "Now, tell your passenger to raise his hands to the sky." And, I mean, they searched us, and I was still laughing. Now, this officer, he wasn't laughing. His eyes were about this big around. I said, it's like a big squirt gun. He said, "Up against the car." I said, "Sir, honestly." He said, he had already called it in, told him that, you know, a man with some strange weapon is going up Highway 65. Yeah, that proves bad things happen to good people. We weren't doing anything. We were just having a good time. You know, you ought to go ahead and enjoy your college years. But don't do it at the expense of your testimony. Hebrews 12:1 tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses. You know, people are watching us. Don't do things that would bring reproach to the name of Christ. But you ought to go ahead and have fun. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Don't do things that will hurt our school's testimony. But go ahead and enjoy yourself. I'm a soccer coach. In a little while, I'll leave here, and I'm going to go coach a soccer game. I was coaching an away game, and this official was obese. That's a polite word for he was fat. There's only one official at the game. And if you know anything about soccer, he made a call on my team, and it was an offsides call. But he made it from the opposite end of the field, which meant he was about 80 yards away from the call, and he made an offsides call. And I accidentally got carried away. And I ran out in the middle of the field where the official is. This is not something you do if you're a coach. The game was going on. I ran out in the middle of the field. And I cried, "You're not only fat, you're blind." This is one of those sermons where you do what I say, not what I do, okay? Now, this guy, he can't believe I'm out on the field. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe I was out there. And so I'm out there chewing this guy out, all right, calling him fat and blind. And I thought, well, I wanted to let him have it. Might as well. I'll pay for this anyway. Might as well get it off my chest while I've got a chance. And so I'm out there chewing this fat guy out, and I'm really giving it to him. And so he's getting ready to throw me. Well, he's going to give me a yellow card. He's going to penalize me and tell me to go to my room or something. And so he's going over to all the fans in the stands, and he's about to, you know, humiliate me. He's going to make sure they all know he's throwing me off the field. So he walks over there, and he sticks his whistle in his mouth, and he's getting ready to make, you know, coach signals, a little bit like a deaf interpreter. And he... He gets ready to throw me off the field. Now, none of the boys on the field have any idea that the game, is supposed to be stopped at this point. So he goes over there to blow that whistle real good. One of the boys lost the ball. The guy's standing right in front of the crowd, and the boy lost the ball. Right as the guy begins to blow the whistle, it hits the official right on top of the head. And I said, he's getting ready to throw me off the field. And I said, I'm sure that ball was close enough for you to see, wasn't it? And he said, Coach of Hammond Baptist, off the field, out of the park, get out of here. And I said, good. In fact, boy, there's no room for both of us. Now, don't do that. That's not good. Brother Daniels likes to eat
all the time.
My son, we have a rule at the soccer team. The boys have to wear a tie the day of a soccer game. My son was kind of moping around a little bit. He didn't have a kind of tie he wanted to wear to school. And I said, son, I'll let you wear one of mine. He picked out one of my ties that Brother Hiles had purchased for me, about a $40 tie, real nice tie. And I said, sure, son, you can go ahead and you can wear it. And he said, awesome, Dad, that'll be cool. I said, right, that's what I was thinking. And so he wore my tie to school that day. And we were on our way to the soccer game. And we played our game. We were on our way back. And I looked back, and all the boys on the team had taken their ties, and they were wearing them as bandanas like this. And I'm thinking, son, that's a $40 tie. I look back at him. He says, awesome, Dad. You know, you got to try it. It feels pretty good. You got a tie on right now? Take it off. And I get sick and tired of wearing these things. Now, I feel a little bit like Rambo when I have this on. You look like Rambozo, brother. I can't stand wearing these things, and I get sick and tired. This morning when I get up, I said, I don't want to preach. I'm tired of preaching. I'm tired of talking about serious stuff all the time. Hang it. You know, I take the teenagers for a ride on the bus. Brother Grady's strange. I take the teenagers on a bus. Every time I take a group of teenagers on a bus somewhere, they always want to make faces at people, you know, driving up the road. How many of you know what I mean? Amen. And I tell them, I say, now, you can't do that because the name of the church is on the side of the bus. So my recommendation to youth directors is never put the name of your church on the side of the bus. Makes life funner. But you should. You should go ahead and have some fun while you're in school here, but never at the cost of your testimony. Never at the cost of your family's testimony. Never at the cost of your church's testimony. Never at the cost of your testimony. Someone attacked Brother Hiles a few years ago. I'm sure you heard about it. And I got in the flesh a little bit. I do that often. And so, yeah, all the time. Amen. It's just some of us have more flesh to get into than others. I got a little wound up about the thing, and so I went out to the lake, and I collected some deposits from the ducks, and I stuck it in a bag, and I sent it to this guy as a gift. And you say, Brother Owens, that's not right. Look, nobody's perfect. And I thought, this too will pass. Go ahead. Enjoy college, but not at the cost of your testimony. You know, you should enjoy college, but not at the cost of others. You should enjoy being here, but not at the expense of other people. The Bible says, be kind one to another. It's all right to have fun. But, you know, your fun should stop where it affects me and it's no fun for me anymore. Be careful of teasing people because of poor hygiene. You know, the truth is, those are the kind of people you help, not hurt. There are a lot of people who have not had someone to love them and to train them the way that you've been trained. Help that kind of person. Don't destroy somebody else's property so you can have fun. there was a young man, and I coached him on the soccer team for a while, and one night the boys thought it would be funny if they would take one of his shoes, a nice leather shoe, and they hid it. Matter of fact, he never found it. He came back in the next night, and I asked him if he's going to dress out, and he said, "I can't." And he walked away. He came the next night, and he after school, he was looking around the school and things. I said, "Aren't you going to dress out?" He said, "I'm sorry, coach. My dad won't let me play anymore until I find my shoe." And the next night he came in. I said, "You know, have you found it yet?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "My dad beat me last night." You see, there's sometimes you have fun, and it costs someone else desperately. And that's not right. Now, go ahead and have fun, but not at the expense of someone else. We live in a welfare society, even to the point of fun. We always want to have fun, but it's got to cost someone else. And don't let that be the case. Don't poke fun at somebody because of their race. Be careful. You're going to drive somebody away from Christ, and it may be the person that may salvage that race. You know, I won a trip with Brother Hiles for winning a spring or a fall program. I forget which. They bleed together for me. We had gone to Traverse City, Michigan. A couple groups of people went, a couple big nice buses, and Brother Hiles had told us to bring something with us that we would like to auction off, and we're going to meet in this big presidential ballroom, and we were there for two or three days, a beautiful hotel. We're going to meet in the presidential ballroom, have a nice meal, and then we're going to bring all these items with us, and we're going to auction them off, and Brother Hiles is going to be the auctioneer, and we'd have some fun. And, you know, I'm the serious one. I never do anything that's out of the ordinary or incorrect or improper. And so I went into that room earlier, and there was this beautiful oil painting on the wall, you know, by Leonardo da Vinci or someone like that. And then everybody else came in, and I'd taken that oil painting, and I handed it to Chad Best when Brother Hiles was doing the auctioning. Brother Hiles auctioned off the hotel's oil painting. Chad Best got in trouble, and I think that's good. Look, you got to learn how to do it and not get caught. That's what you got to learn. You know, I told you about a camp trip that I had this summer, you know, the Camp of Horror, where I'd gone, and the kids had given me such a hard time. And, you know, I didn't tell you the whole story. I've been to camp quite a few times myself. The youth director said to me, he said, "Well, Lindsay, have you got any games, you know, that we could play with the kids?" I said, "You know, try bobbing for french fries with these jerks, you know." I was trying to think of something I could give them to do that would be good for them. And so I gave him some games. Little did these young people know, I'd thought up some of the games, and I was enjoying it. A few of them were not. For instance, I told the youth director, I said, "Here's what you do. Call someone up on the platform and tell them, make an agreement, that if you would choose to crack two eggs on their head, that you'd give them $20 for it." Somebody came up, and, you know, guy, he was ready to get that $20. It wouldn't matter what it took. He'd take the $20. Youth director cracked one egg on his head. And then he said, "Oh, well, let's just forget it. I'll keep my $20. They didn't think that was funny, but inside I was laughing. I thought, "That's what you get." He said, "Well, the one with that is great. You got any more?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Have an ice cream eating contest." I said, "You get two or three guys," and I said, "See that guy right there?" And I said, "He's a guy. It looks like he's got a good sense of humor. He's the biggest jerk of them all." I said, "See that guy right there?" I said, "I'm going to help you." I said, "Here's what you do. You get four guys. You put three scoops of ice cream in three different bowls, and then you put one scoop of shortening in the other bowl." I said, "You put chocolate syrup on them all, and then you get this one guy, you know, the macho dude. You get him all pumped up. Like, here's how you do it, man. You run down there, you grab that whole dip, you shove it in your mouth all at one time. You're going to beat them all. You're going to beat them all." Oh, it was great. Then he shoved that scoop of shortening in his mouth, and, you know, he started swallowing it. But, you know, that stuff, it goes down whole. And it was great. He's throwing up shortening everywhere. "Mess with me, son." He said, "Well, Owens, you got any more?" I said, "Sure. Here's what let's do." I said, "Let's have a caramel apple eating contest. But you always make one of them an onion. It's great." Like I said, principle number one, go ahead and enjoy college, but not at the expense of your testimony. Principle number two, only have fun at the expense of others when they deserve it. I was thinking earlier, I think that's the way my wife thinks. When we were dating, I'd given her my class ring, and evidently, I'd spent some time with some other girl or something like that, and my class ring come up missing. I asked her, I said, "Sherry, have you seen my class ring recently?" She said, "No, not recently." She had taken that thing and flushed it down the toilet. I didn't find out about it till we'd been married 2 years. Now, she thinks that's funny. That's not funny. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. Enjoy life. But be careful. Be careful. There are some times when it's at somebody else's expense, it's not right. Go ahead and enjoy yourself, but not at the expense of your future. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 5, talks to us about being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You can enjoy yourself and enjoy your college days much better here than you will at some state college. You see, the devil's fun is imitation. And you might think that you'd enjoy it more there, but you wouldn't, not in the end. Some of you think that you say, "Brother Owens, I'm sick and tired of being told what to do while I'm here. I want to get out and be on my own. I want some freedom. I'm going to join the army." Some of you think I'd like to go home for the rest of this semester and just enjoy that for a little while, and I'll even plan on coming back next semester. You're not really going to enjoy that, not as much as what you think you would. You need to stay right here and go ahead and enjoy it while you're here. Go ahead and have some fun, but not at the expense of your testimony, and not at the expense of others, and not at the expense of your future. Some of you are going to try to have a little fun. It's not going to be the right kind of fun, and you're going to get thrown out of school, and you're going to destroy your future. It's okay to have some fun. I would be careful dating someone because you think it might be fun. That can be very dangerous. I think that you should date no one that you would not consider marrying. But I think on the date, it's okay to have fun, but just don't just date for the fun of it. Be careful. You may destroy your future. I was a freshman. I went to the public school my whole life, and I was a freshman. And the varsity basketball coach asked me as a freshman to dress out for the team. And every time that we would play a game, I would dress out and always wore my sweatsuit over uniform. And we went about halfway through the season like that, and I was getting pretty disgusted. You know, these guys got to play all the time. I'm a freshman. I never get to play, but I always had to dress out. And so I decided, well, this is kind of dumb. Well, I put my uniform underneath my sweats, so I'll just wear my clothes. So, now, in Indiana, basketball is real big. There are about 5,000 people in our field house. And so me and Mark Teal, my buddy, we always sit on the bench all the way down at the end. We're the young guys. We never get to play. We decided, oh, we'll just wear our sweats underneath our clothes. That way we'll be the first guys out of the locker room. We can go home. About halfway through the game, one of the starting guards fouled out. And the coach said, "Owens, come here." "Yeah, coach, you're going in." "No, coach." "No." He said, "No, get your sweats off." "I can't." He said, "You can't. Get off. They're waiting on you." And everybody's watching. The coach chew me out now, trying to get me in the game because the guys just fouled out. I said, "I can't." He said, "You got to. Take them off." "I can't, coach." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I don't have my uniform under it." He said, "Don't take them off. I don't want anybody to see what you got on." I said, "Coach, I have my clothes on under." He said, "Sit down." Now, I tell you this, but I ruined my future that year. He wouldn't let me dress out with the varsity team again. Now, go ahead and have some fun. But, you know, honestly, after I was sitting in the stands watching everybody else play basketball, I was thinking, you know, that was kind of stupid, although it was funny. Go ahead and have fun. Once you learn to have fun at your own expense, you know, some of you need to learn to laugh at yourself. You might as well, everybody else is. You know, if you will laugh at yourself, others can never laugh at you again. They must laugh with you. Learn to laugh at yourself. I'm going to tell you, and this is going to seem like such a simple statement. I'll tell you why some of you preacher boys will not make it. Because you're not willing to embarrass your flesh, therefore the spirit may never dominate in your life. You're scared to death to cut loose and embarrass yourself a little. But if you'll not embarrass yourself, the spirit may never dominate in your life. You're going to ruin yourself. You know, the devil's fun is imitation. It's not real. The devil's fun is enjoy yourself now, pay later. But what you'll have to pay is unreasonable.
Right.
And you're going to be sorry. Have fun while you're here at college. Some of you married men, you need to bring your families to the college and let them enjoy some of the activities. Some of you married men need to date your wife, or someone else will. You need to take the time with your wife and your kids and your family. Some of you, you're just so cool. You'll participate in nothing that we do around here. We don't have the activities around here just to give Brother McSpadden and Brother Wolf something to do with their time. We do it because it's best for you. Number one, you can learn at those activities, but you can enjoy yourself. And some of you are miserable here at school, and it's your fault because you don't have to be miserable. Go ahead and enjoy it. Bring your kids out here, and when they show one of the films here, I call them movies, but Christian people call them films. When we have a Christian film, bring your children. It's the only chance to go to the movies. Bring them out here and let them enjoy it. Some of you, I'll tell you why some of you married men have such a hard time when you get home. You have your wife locked at home in a house, and you never let her out. And she needs a chance to get out and enjoy herself. Let her go to the spectacular. Let her get involved. And some of you need to slow down a little bit and go out and have a cigarette by the lake or something. You know, in a minute, I'm going to leave. Might be permanent. I'm going to leave here in just a second and say, Brother Holmes, what are you going to do? You going to go pray? No way. I'm tired of praying. That wears you out. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go coach a soccer game. Hope the referee's not fat. What are you going to do after that? Nothing. All afternoon. I'm going to pick my kids up. Later on, I'm probably going to go buy pizza or some greasy McDonald's hamburger, and I'm going to enjoy it. And then after I'm so full that I can't eat anymore, I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. And I'm going to get a heat blizzard with extra heat in it. And I'm going to go to bed early. And I'm going to sleep all night long. And when I get up tomorrow morning, I'll get back after it and I'll do the work of God. But I have fun in life. I just don't tell you about it all because, number one, it could get me in trouble. And number two, that way I get away with things.